Orion could say anything.
I'm going out.
Her head shook so violently that he feared she might have a fit.
Yes, I want to see some of what's outside. I've seen enough of the inside for a while. You coming?
Again, a shake of her head. She took his arm and tried to pull him back into the center of the redoubt.
No, lady, I'm going. You want to stay, that's fine.
She kept her grip on his arm, but made no further effort to check him. He walked along with her at his side, conscious of her attractiveness. Wearing heels, she topped him by a couple of inches. They descended the winding stairs, level by level, until he reached the 10th floor, which was near the bottom of the complex. At the base of the staircase, there was a pair of heavy steel doors, firmly locked. Ryan paused, wondering what the keeper wanted to shut off in there.
What's in there, Lori?
Her face tightened with concentration. She put both hands to her cheek and closed her eyes, miming sleep.
Beds? You come and sleep down here?
Lori shook her head sadly. Then she bit her lip, trying again. She pointed to the doors and clutched her chest, rolled her eyes, and sank slowly and gracefully to the floor, where she lay still, one leg bent beneath her. Ryan wasn't quite able to understand the meaning of the pantomime.
They're dead in there? Sleeping? Dead?
She sat up with a radiant smile, then folded her arms around herself and shuddered.
Frozen? Fireblast, you mean that there's folk in there, frozen and dead?
She stood up, looking at him, mouth trembling open, almost as if she was about to talk. But the moment passed, and she turned and ran down a lateral corridor until all he heard was the tinkling of her spurs. He stood for some seconds, looking at the great doors, wondering if the secret of the lost generations of the redoubt lay behind them. But whatever the secret was, he decided that it didn't much interest him. What he wanted was some fresh air. He and JB had worked out the controls on a previous visit. The exit code was displayed on a green liquid panel as 3 digits. As soon as the ready button was pressed, a return code appeared, 3 digits plus a letter to complete the sequence. Ryan touched the button that turned on the display panel.
929, and the return code is 596H.
The secondary entrance to the redoubt slid open. Ryan's nostrils were immediately filled with the stench of sulfur. Outside, sleet and snow whirled across a flat, paved area about 50 paces square. In the stockpile, they'd found dozens of snow buggies with tracks that enabled them to go over any kind of terrain. But for this brief excursion, Ryan had chosen to go on foot. He stepped through the door and watched it close behind him. The landscape was as bleak as anything he'd ever seen. The redoubt was set into the side of a mountain. A long trail wound toward a steep valley below. There was no sign of vegetation anywhere. He wore his thermals with a thick sweater and his trusty long coat. The lap of 556mm was on his right hip, the steel punga on the left. The 6-hour was holstered under the coat. There were jagged peaks all around, vanishing into the murk, all of them layered with snow. The cold was intense, making him think that the rumors of the persisting nuclear winter were true. The sky was a sallow color, streaked like bile, showing occasional flashes of silver brightness from the chem debris that still permeated the heavens. Far off to the west, Ryan could make out a tall mountain with a smear of orange smoke trailing from it, indicating an active volcano. For an instant, the ground vibrated beneath his feet from a minor earth tremor. Ryan steadied himself, rubbing his eye to clear the irritation from the ochre clouds. Squinting, he spotted movement on the far side of the valley beneath an overhang of gray rock. It looked like a pair of huge bears, their coats of dirty white marked with yellow mud. As he watched them, they turned toward him. Although the bear showed no sign of becoming a threat, Ryan drew the lapa, holding it at the ready. They were probably a good half mile away, but it was better to be safe than sorry. As it turned out, the animals probably saved his life. Without them, he wouldn't have drawn his gun in time to defend himself. The attackers came from above and behind. They dropped on top of Ryan and sent him crashing to the icy ground. He scrabbled to his feet, but just as he was upright again, one of them hit him behind the knees and he went flying to one side. But even as he fell, he snapped off a burst from his lapa, the stream of lead stitching 2 of the 5 diminutive mutants. They went spinning away, blood and intestines spilling from their torn stomachs. As Ryan hit the ground, his gun struck rock. His elbow and shoulder were jarred by the fall, but he was quickly up on one knee, steadying the gun at the three remaining dwarfs, who were shrouded in fur so that only their slit eyes showed. One had obscenely long monkey arms that trailed in the snow as he moved. Another seemed to have a residual third leg sprouting from his left thigh. Ryan assumed that they were men, though there was no evidence either way. All three carried long spears tipped with barbed ivory points. Communicating with one another in grunts, they pointed at their two dying comrades and stamped their feet on the rocky ground in obvious rage. Ryan held his gun steady, and for no apparent reason, he suddenly remembered a quote Oki had made earlier when she was watching the old vids.
"Come on, you little fuckers. Make my day."
One of them waved his spear, shuffling nearer to the lone man. Still keeping them covered, Ryan slowly rose, glancing around in case more muties were sneaking up behind him. He held his fire as long as he could, though not out of any foolish milksop ideas of mercy or kindness. It was always good to know as much as possible about your enemies. Anyone not a friend was always an enemy. If Alaska was filled with these bloodthirsty creatures, then it was as well to know what their weapons were. Did they have only spears? They came closer, thrusting their wooden lances forward. Ryan tightened his finger on the trigger.
"Close enough."
The fall had jammed the Lapa.
"Oh, shit."
"Way down yonder in the Indian Nation, I rode my pony on the reservation in those Oklahoma hills where I was born."
The strange lyrics floated over the bare rocks, reaching the ears of the Russian guerrillas. The words made no sense at all to them, as they were spoken in another language. Had they understood them, they would still have been baffled, for the song came from distant antiquity. It dated from centuries before the nukes fell from the skies, bringing the long darkness to all the world. Smeya came snaking back from the ridge, his clothes stained a dull green from the lichen that clung stubbornly to the lee of the boulders. He scurried to where Uchitil stood, holding his stallion quiet.
"One man alone. A trapper laying lines below the ice of a stream. Shall I kill him?"
"He